This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'd like to welcome you to First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, and on the first Friday of each month, we partner with the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. We discuss the important environmental issues facing the state of Michigan with an eye towards how these issues touch us in Washtenaw County. Lisa Wozniak is the Executive Director of the League, and welcome back.
It's always a pleasure to be here with you, David. Thank you.
And our conversation this month comes around to an issue that's been a source of concern for years, but really hit a new level when an anchor drop damaged pipelines in the Strait of Mackinac and made us all consider long and hard about the consequences of a major spill in the Straits or anywhere in the Great Lakes for that matter. Enbridge Line 5 is our focus today. And Lisa, we have explored this issue from a variety of perspectives over the last year, and today we're going to offer another. I'm glad to go about it once again.
Indeed. Our guest today is Desmond Berry. Desmond is the Natural Resources Department Manager for the Grand Traverse Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians. Thanks for joining us today, Des.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we do appreciate the time, most certainly. Now, before we jump into the Line 5 issue specifically, Desmond, I want to get a better understanding of the relationship and traditions the Grand Traverse Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians have in the waters of the Straits and in the Great Lakes. How important is it?
Well, you know, you've heard the term water is life, and tribes, we take that saying to heart. It's not just a saying, it's how we believe. It's the very fiber of our existence. So the Straits of Mackinac, water in general, the Great Lakes, it's the most extreme importance to us.
That's kind of a universal sentiment, and Lisa, the Michigan League of Conservation Voters has long held that the entire populace should value and protect these waters with that same passion.
Absolutely, and I, you know, the word should, right? I actually believe that Michiganders do value the waters and the Great Lakes. It's not something they always act upon. But I believe in looking around the state right now, people's voices are getting louder and louder, and Line 5 and the pipelines issues are frankly a focal point in this year in combination with a number of other things that are threatening our waters, from the PFAS contamination to the lead, the sewage overflow. But this Line 5 issue has really gotten people up and off the couch, and they're very, very concerned. And I would say polling that I've seen in major battleground areas of this state show that Michiganders, whether they're Republican or Democrat, I mean, they care deeply.
Now, Desmond, there's history, there's tradition, and the tribes have a right to fish these waters. Can you kind of explain to us and help us better understand about indigenous fishing rights and how that plays into the fight to shut down Line 5?
Glad you asked that question, actually, because that comes to the heart of it for the Grand Traverse Band. So in the 70s, we had to fight in federal court for our right to commercial fish in the Great Lakes. Now, those rights were granted to us by a treaty signed in 1836, actually called the 1836 Treaty of Washington. If it wasn't for that treaty, Michigan would not have received statehood in 1837 when they did. So this goes back quite a long ways for the tribes. And mm-hmm. In the 70s, we had to force this issue in federal court. As a result of that, we had a ruling in 79 that said the tribes have the right to fish within the Great Lakes. And then from there, we had a couple more court cases and ended up settling on a consent decree in 1985. And basically what that did was allocate fishery resources amongst the state and the tribes, as well as our federal partners. It also granted the tribes co-management authority. So that's where I'm coming from with regards to the Line 5 issue, right, is because we have co-management authority of the fisheries resources, but then we have this 65-year-old pipeline that's laying on the bottom of the Straits of Mackinac that threatens not just our fresh surface water, but it also threatens the fisheries resources that the tribes negotiated and fought very hard.
And as of right now, it is a matter of which you have no say.
Well, you're right. Unless we force this issue through court, we haven't had much of a say. We've been brought to the table a few times at the tribe's request to talk about Line 5 with the state of Michigan, whether that be the DNR or the DEQ or both. But the consultation really hasn't been a two-way street. It's been more along the lines of we share our concerns and we hear from the state that they hear our concerns, but then when they develop agreements, they don't include the tribes in those negotiations, in those discussions, and then they just say, well, here's the agreement.
I'm glad you got to that point, because I want to follow that path a little further. First of all, you're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and it's First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, alongside my partner, Lisa Wozniak. Lisa's the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and our guest today is Desmond Berry. Desmond is the Natural Resources Department Manager for the Grand Traverse Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians. Governor Snyder and his administration did reach a deal with Enbridge, and it does not involve the removal or decommissioning of Line 5, but instead would see the construction of a tunneled concrete encasement for the pipeline. Now, Desmond, when you were at the table, did you raise objections to this plan?
Of course. The tribes are on record, the Cora tribes, the five Chippewa-Ottawa Resource Authority tribes, are on record currently with a resolution that does not support a tunnel. Earlier on, we had a resolution, and still do, that doesn't support Enbridge Line 5, period. But last fall, we came out with a resolution that said we don't support a tunnel. So we've been very adamant and very outspoken at every level throughout our government.
Lisa, do you have any sense of how long it would actually take to put the cap on Line 5, and what would happen with Line 5 while they're doing all that work?
Well, right now, I mean, they're talking about keeping Line 5 alive and running while they were doing all that work. It's not a matter of shutting that thing down. It would be alive and well and running under the Straits of Mackinac during
while construction is going on around it?
Absolutely right. And so that's one of the things that we, you know, are very concerned about. The risk remains as the tunnel would be developed. We know that there are alternatives that have been researched, and that they to do a run around the lakes, it would actually mitigate risk in a huge way. And there are no one's really done the analysis yet about the risk factors involved in the construction of the tunnel itself and the environmental degradation of that enterprise itself. So there are a number of questions that remain unanswered. And frankly, I think that the state of Michigan, knowing that nearly 23 million gallons of oil will flow through that dented old 65-year-old pipeline every day while this so-called tunnel is developed, I mean, that's a huge threat. It's a risk that I don't think Michiganders should be willing to take.
And Desmond, the state and Enbridge both believe this approach will minimize risk, allow for better monitoring, and will in fact protect the Straits and the Great Lakes, and will do so at a far less cost than rerouting the lines out of the waters, as Lisa has suggested. What would you propose as an alternative to encasing Line 5?
You know, first of all, I want to recognize whose oil this really is. This is Canadian oil, and Michigan does not need to shoulder the risk for a transportation company. That's all Enbridge is they move oil. Why do we have to find an alternative? Why does the state of Michigan feel it's necessary that they come to the table and try to work an agreement with Enbridge when this has little to no benefit whatsoever to our state? So my alternative is take it out, go around, or just discontinue it. Decommission this line. Quite frankly, the tribe's position is we have about a dozen years to start to remove ourselves from the dependence on fossil fuel. This pipeline, that's not going to help us at all.
I'm going to ask this question of both of you. Next Tuesday, voters are headed to the polls. And Lisa Wozniak, what potential impact can the outcomes of the candidate races, both at the federal level and the state level, and even to a degree in the local levels of government, impact Line 5 and the environment and protection of our waters?
Well, they could impact it tremendously. I mean, whom we elect matters. That's one of the things I always say to anyone who asks what they can do on any of the issues that we're facing in terms of Great Lakes and drinking water. But I will tell you, David, that this administration is actually looking to make this agreement to build this tunnel binding, and to do so within the lame duck legislative session. So we might have an election that would put people who care deeply about this and want to address this in a way that would decommission the pipeline in place, taking office in early 2019. But between now and then, there is a lame duck session of the legislature where, if this binding agreement goes forward, it will tie the hands in a very difficult way for a new governor, for a new attorney general, and for the legislature.
And Desmond, I'm going to change the question a little bit on you. Based on what Lisa Wozniak just said, what will you be doing, and what can anyone do through this lame duck legislature that might change the future of what happens in the Straits of Mackinac?
First of all, I'll say what we all can do as citizens within this state is we need to reach out to those legislators, and we need to put the pressure on. Tell them it's not the time to be acting on binding legislation, when in fact we could have an administration that does want to decommission this line. That's what we all owe it to ourselves to do. But secondly, you know, there's some questions with regards to the tribe's treaty rights in this that haven't been answered. And maybe the third branch of government needs to do that.
Then you're speaking of the judicial branch.
That's correct. And maybe the process has to follow that route. You know, the Kora tribes have a property right in this resource. And again, I feel as if we've been left out of any of this decision-making process. We've been invited to consultations, but they've pretty much been empty. Our concerns haven't been addressed yet. I opened up earlier saying we fought for our treaty rights in the 70s and again in the 80s. You know, it's something we're willing to do again. Hopefully it doesn't have to come to that. But again, you know, we're prepared to do that.
Well, Desmond, I thank you for the time and the perspective, and we'll be following along to see how this plays out.
Wonderful. Thank you.
That is Desmond Berry. He's the Natural Resources Department Manager for the Grand Traverse Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians. And Lisa, thank you for your time. We'll talk again in December.
Look forward to it, David.
Lisa Wozniak is the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and our content partner for WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.